listening to Fakeologist Audio, a periodic audio where I explore the world of media fakery. You can find my blog at fakeologist.com, where you'll find all the links to the live stream and audio archives. You'll also find links to my sublogs, forums, email, PayPal, Twitter, and YouTube. We now use Discord for all our interactive audio and text. To join in on any live conversation, go to our main page and connect to the Discord server on the right, or visit bit.ly/fakechat. Now, here's your host, the Fakeologist, Abarato. All right, yes, we do. We got a little woman. We got a big Fakeologist female here with us tonight, Faye, and you're welcome, everyone, to Fakeologist Radio. This is a regular weekly attempt to do an audio. So far, we've been pretty good at it. It is July 29th, year of our Lord, 2018. Started the broadcast around 1911. That's 1-9-11. And we'll go for about an hour or so, or as long as we can keep it interesting, because I was just recently told on a Fakeologist audio chat that the audios aren't interesting at all, and only the blog is interesting. And that's too bad. We're going to have to spice it up a bit, I suppose, and make it really interesting. So I gave you a little music in the background. Maybe we'll play a few videos. We'll discuss the blog, but we'll try and do whatever we can to make it interesting to you guys, and we'll go for about an hour or so. We won't really call it Fakeologist 55 just yet, just in case. And also, the intro is slightly wrong. That's an old intro. We are using Skype right now for the express purpose of taking phone calls. Yes, we would like phone calls from anyone and everyone. We don't screen the calls. The phone number is 518-639-6233, 518-639-6233, and if you call in, we'll take your call, make it Fakeologist related if possible, and you can talk to myself and Faye, who is on the line. Faye, hello.
Yeah, hello everybody, hello up, and yeah, you mentioned something right now about the blog, that it is very interesting to most people, but the audio not. Who
was
that?
Well, that's what I heard. Guy you may have heard who called in and talked to you last week, Marcus Allen. He said the audios aren't that great. But actually, he said that 5 years ago as well, and it's sad that we haven't got any better.
I thought it was somehow standardized when he said it. Maybe
no,
he just
I think that's the truth.
Okay.
I think that's his truth anyway. So he likes the blog. He says I'm a good blogger, but I don't actually put a ton of text into my blog. It's more just links and a quick little brush of commentary. But I would like to be a good broadcaster. And I'm not sure if fakery or fakeology lends itself to good audios, but I like hearing from different people that look into this, and that's why we've opened up the phone lines. I find new voices are interesting often.
Yes, and actually there is one new voice which is waiting, who is waiting for you on Discord, that is Unrestrained, and he talked a little bit to Rolo.
Oh, did he? Okay.
Yes, an hour ago, and he told him that you will be online and available later. But he is in the lobby of Discord, and I don't know how to...
Yeah, unfortunately, he's going to have to call in on the old Skype.
Yeah.
So maybe someone can send him a message and tell him to just dial into Skype. He can phone 518-639-6233. Or he can just find me on Skype. Name is Fakeologist here, F-A-K-E-L-O-G-I-S-T. Very easy. I don't think there's any barriers to reaching me on Skype. Well, you can just let him know, which I think you're doing now, because I have not integrated the two audios yet. And again, we're just trying to reach out to all those who have a telephone. Some people still have telephones and they can call in and talk to us, and we will talk to them about media fakery. And I believe 1 week ago we were talking to Zylphilex because you were off. I think you were on personal leave. And I talked to Zylphilex.
Yes, I listened to that. It was a very good interview.
Oh, thank you.
I enjoyed it very much, both of you.
Oh, that's and, nice, because it wasn't very rehearsed.
Yes, but it was too short. I would like to have 3 hours or 4 hours of Xylophilex and you discussing in depth, also about things.
Well, we just were surprised his audio worked, and then we just started talking. I had already done a little broadcast. I didn't have a lot of energy left, and therefore I just wanted to try and catch a few of the highlights of his research. He's a good researcher here, a good commenter, and I enjoy his work. I just wanted everyone to hear his voice, and that's what we did. And yeah, it wasn't too complete. It wasn't my best, but I just, again, wanted to get a new voice out there. I know he's been on before, but it's been so long, I can't even remember the last time he was on. So anyone who wants to read good comments, go look up Zylphilex, Xylephelix. That's Felix inverted. That's how he got his name. He said it was a coincidence, not deliberate, and I like him.
I like him too.
Controversial, but he does his research.
And what is controversial about him? Never heard that.
Well, I don't know really. He just digs deep into some of the characters, and I think he may have pushed a couple characters' buttons in England, perhaps, that I'm not sure, because some of these crisis actors really get involved online and really try to be threatening, and I'm not sure if he dug up some victims that had corresponding online actors defending their characters, and maybe, I'm not sure, it's hard to remember, because there's so many victims and so many psyops. I just, somehow that rings a bell, and it was a British one, so I'm not even sure what it was about, actually. It might have been 7/7, for all I know, the London bombing tube hoax. But it's funny, I was just lamenting, when I was talking to Zylphilex, I'm pretty sure, that we hadn't had anything in Canada for a while, and in summer in general was pretty slow for psyops and hoaxes, and we had a little shooter-upper on Sunday night, right after the show in Toronto.
Yeah, I have put it on the Fakopedia, but I did not follow the discussion about it. I was too absorbed with other things. What exactly was it? A shooting incident?
We're told a disaffected Muslim person, young man, he finished his job at the grocery store, and then he packed up some weapon of some sort, maybe a handgun, and don't ask me, he just went down the road, maybe a few miles, kilometers in Europe and Canada, and then he walked down the sidewalk on what they said was a busy night, although I don't know if Sunday night is a busy night. I don't go down to that area. I'm usually in bed. And I don't even know. I know the street is what they call Greek Town. I'm not sure it's really Greek, but that's what it's called. Oh, yeah, that's actually funny that you're Greek.
Yes, and I read it, but I didn't, as I said, I didn't follow it afterwards.
Yeah, I don't know how much is. I don't know how much is Greek down there, but that's what it's called, maybe historically. And then allegedly he was just shooting wildly into the various small cafes, and he hit an 18-year-old woman, and he hit a 10-year-old girl and killed them, so we're told. And this is all in the so-called year of the gun, where apparently gun crime is on the rise in Toronto, even though guns are pretty hard to come by here. They're not totally illegal. You can, if you pass all kinds of hurdles, probably way more hurdles than in the United States, get a handgun, but most people are just sports handgun people and they shoot at a range, but it's not, there's no liberal, there's no free gun laws like there are in some United States. But anyhow, that was the story. The Muslim who they did leak out a few other counter narratives that ISIS took responsibility, that was later denied. But the perpetrator, who in my mind, of course, is a sim. I was going to post it, but I just didn't have the energy. The perpetrator looked a lot like Adam Lanza from the Sandy Hook affair. He had a sort of very narrow head, just a squeezed head that looked a little odd. And of course, the fuzzy, poor resolution pictures. There was really nothing extraordinary about this hoax. I have no doubt it's a hoax. But again, we just come up with the Danforth Strong, which is the street it was conducted on. We have the Toronto Strong, and then they brought in the Humboldt Hockey hoax and the Toronto Van Attack hoax and sort of tried to weave them together, where the victims reach out to each other and hold hands. And it wasn't a highly developed psyop, I don't think.
But. Do you think that because there are also several narratives that are interwoven in this Canadian psyops, and I would be interested to understand, is it that they are building up something like an Islamic threat in Canada?
Well, that
the Humble wasn't in that frame, I think, but
no, that
the
was
attack was
This is the violence. They always seem to use the Muslim perpetrator. That seems to be how it's done in many places. It's always a Muslim. I'm not sure exactly. I was trying to explain to a friend of mine who doesn't know about psyops why they target Muslims, and I think it's because they don't have a strong voice to defend themselves. Plus, most of the recent immigrants, I think a majority are Muslim. I don't quote me on that. So you always target the people that are the most vulnerable, the least likely to speak out, because if they're recent immigrants, they don't want to jeopardize any of their potential immigration positions, so they're not going to say anything. Or maybe they're just not going to know anything. They're not going to understand at all how these things work. So maybe they're just not
but
as organized.
Isn't it also, isn't it also a little bit that the enemy image of the Muslim has been established since 9/11, and it is worldwide established, and it is a very easy reference to make for
it is
the
you're
public
right.
perception. Yeah,
you're so, right. It's an established reference point since 9/11, even before, and yes, it's easy to believe for people because yes, there are, and they even had what I think was a staged hate event at our ferry terminals in our downtown area. Where I
saw
think,
that.
You know, they put this. This is the contradiction in the media where they demonize Muslims and they're most likely sim villains, as we call them. So they put it in everyone's mind that it's Muslim, Muslim, Muslim. They're the bad ones. And then at the same time, they say you can't say anything about Muslims to all the non-Muslims, saying, well, you can't call their religion hateful. You can't call them, you can't generalize that they're bad people. And that is a real conflict for many people in their minds. And I think that they even stage some hate where they will take some kind of actor or some kind of intelligence personnel, and they will stage an event, they'll film it, they'll video it in such a way that they know that it'll go viral. I'm sure it's promoted in whatever extra way they have, and they're going to show, see, they're going to show the outrage that about against immigration, against Muslims particularly, and they're going to control both sides of the narrative, I think.
And it's of course also an attempt to enhance prejudice or to create, to cultivate stereotypes about categories, let's say, of the population. The Muslims are aggressive, or they are dark, or they are women haters, or whatever. And I just recall now from having read that in the period after the First World War, there was a massive campaign, especially from Britain, against the Germans, where they used similar tactics, propaganda tactics, for degrading, for creating the enemy image, let's say, which was useful in that period. And the methods are always the same, I think. It is about to stick some attributes to some categories of people, let's say.
Yes.
And negative, of course. They are bad, they are aggressive, they are, I don't know, whatever.
I think many people are anti-Islamic because they're given those ideas by the media and the intelligence agencies that control the media or feed the media.
Of course, yeah.
They don't even have to control them. They have to feed them the stories. They feed them this narrative. And so they know people are thinking these things. So it's believable and it's possible in many people's eyes that a person who's not as afraid to speak out or maybe is less mentally stable is going to go confront someone who he thinks is a Muslim, which I don't know how you, the women are sometimes easily identifiable, but men I don't think are necessarily easily identifiable unless they're walking in and out of a mosque. So they create this conflict and they manage the conflict. And that is, of course, the dialectic that they always like to create. I think it's believable that some native Canadians or whatever native population could be anti-Muslim because these flames are stoked by the media. These stories are created. So it's not it is believable that it could happen, but sometimes when you look at who the official purveyors of the viral video are, for instance, I think one of the people who filmed the video of the guy yelling hateful things, he was somehow in the media himself. I don't know about the perpetrator, who he was, if he's been identified or if it even matters, but he could have been in on it in a way, because most normal people don't act like that. Certainly they don't act like that in front of people with small children. That's just against common sense and common decencies. Most people are smart enough to know that these people did not get here randomly or drop out of the walk over a border. This is North America. You can't just get here accidentally unless you know how to swim.
Yes.
Hundreds of miles, thousands of miles. So you can't just get here. North America, of course, is an island unto itself. Yes, we're connected to South America, but I'm sure South America is just as hard to get to from other parts of the world as well.
Mm.
Anyway, so I call that staged hate, and that is also on fakeologist.com. Or savechat.fakeologist.com. I'm not sure. I have some sub-blogs as well.
It is on fakeologist.com. And the interesting is for me now that when I saw the video, you uploaded it on FakeTube also.
No, I think I just left it on Twitter, actually.
Oh, yeah?
I yeah.
No, I'm looking the other one up. No, I'm sorry. Yeah. That's true. But I was very close to take it for real, and Unreal made the first comment that it is purely made for Twitter campaign and such. And I thought, wow, I'm so stupid. I still fall for these tricks that they use with staged,
well, you know. We can't be sure, but we can be severely suspicious that is it really viral that people want to look at someone yelling at someone else for a religion?
I don't know,
because we always have to be very suspicious of viral videos, especially how fast they become viral, the hits, who's promoting them. If the major mainstream media is promoting it, then there's some suspicion in my mind there. So there's a lot of things to look at before you just assume that it's real.
Mm.
Yeah. But
I'll ask Unreal the next time. He's really good.
Yeah, he has his opinions. But the whole point is that just after we talked, we have something in Toronto. They put it on for Sunday night. Most people have gone to bed, so you wake up to it Monday morning. All the media is in on it. Wall-to-wall coverage. They don't shut up about it for a few days. It's a good...
So you get the Dave J effect Monday morning. The death cult, you know, on Monday morning, you have
mourn. Oh, yes, yes. All the flags go to half-mast. Yeah, he's so right. It puts everyone in a state of mourning in the morning.
Yeah.
And it really is timed for that media cycle. Sunday night, most people, it won't be released because most people are asleep. They're not going to bother releasing the story into the night because no one's going to be there to listen. But they have it all ready to go in the morning. Everything, wall-to-wall coverage, all the media is downtown. And the other interesting part is that this area of the Toronto, of the city, is, I think, Hoax Central, one of the hot spots, because just south, and well, I would say mostly south, but in and around that road are what we call, I would say, is mainly populated by people in the media. It's sort of a downtown, downtown type of person that many of them are plugged into the media, I think. So they're PR people, advertising people. Those kind of people live in that area. And, of course, I don't want to generalize. I would say more of an arts type, left-wing type people.
Is it near the Toronto University?
No, it's not related to the university. It's just the area immediately east of our downtown financial core. And it's a very high-end, old area of the city that just because of the proximity to the city is very expensive to live in, real estate-wise.
Okay.
Obviously, the closer you are to downtown, the more it costs in Toronto.
So the Yuppies live there, and the Yuppies are in the media,
yes,
or in PR, yes, or graphics, or artists,
yes,
or something.
They're the type that would benefit from such an event, because their businesses rely on the media, really.
Yeah.
The PR, they all benefit in a way from promoting certain, or just promotions in general. So that was another thought I had, is how, if it's their neighborhood, and most of them won't be in on it. They don't have to be in on it, but they can certainly pile on once it's initiated.
Yeah. But I have a question concerning now the Canadian, maybe I'm not sure if it's really like that. You will tell me. From my understanding, but only in these months that I am researching this material, I have mentioned an increase in or more intensification in the Canadian, let's say, PSYOP network, mm-hmm, or whatever we call it.
I think you're right.
Is it like that? Because then maybe we could discuss, maybe not now, another time, why is that? Because also in other regions I have the impression that there is something like an intensification going on. It's something like a tightening up of the network, you know. It is this.
I don't know exactly. I think you need key people in nexus points in the power structure here. So perhaps it's because we have a mayor in Toronto that is an establishment person. He comes from a family of money, unlike the one before him, who was allegedly a crackheaded bonehead who went global. He went worldwide in his persona. And perhaps maybe a police chief that is now more willing to participate, because the top people in these organizations need to be aware. So, for instance, they'll have an issue, whatever it is, whether they want to change some laws, bylaws, city laws that maybe otherwise wouldn't go through. And therefore, if you're trying to do something, you have to figure out how to get it done. And PSYOPs are a fantastic way to move along agendas and laws. Think about it. If you really are serious about making changes and no one wants to go along with you, then you have to figure out a way to make them do a 180-degree turn with a good reason. So the only thing I can think of is you just have different, newer people that are willing to go along with it. Because it is quite possible, for instance, that you could have people that get to a certain PowerPoint and don't want to be involved. And
you think so?
I think it's possible. Or are less
it's
likely.
Not so possible.
Well, I'm talking about more on the local level. I'm not talking necessarily about higher up. I'm just talking on the city level. Mm-hmm. Because we've had quite a few in the city. But it's hard to tell.
It's hard to tell, yes. But, you know, I think the industry of those who have the know-how, there are several hundreds, I don't know, I have no overview of enterprises, you know, real structures, organizations that are publicly, you know, searchable on Google. Uh-huh. That offer these kind of events.
Well, I think it's the military, and
yes, of course. But these have the resources. They have the actors. They have the infrastructure. It's not. What was the name of the one that did in France these campaigns after Charlie Hebdo, when they had the big demonstrations with 100,000 people and everyone was holding the same paper where you could read with the same. It was, you know, it was printed during the 2 hours directly after the event. It was an organized campaign. And I don't know. I don't remember the names now. But what I mean is this industry is the military, of course, is central for that.
Well, they're the logistics. I think they coordinate it, but they can bring in all the PR companies to do the signs and someone can organize a demonstration.
Sure.
Yeah, I would say they contract all of it out.
Yeah, and they have to pass over the know-how, you know. For example, in the Greek PSYOP that we had last week.
Yeah, about the fires?
About the fires. It is also a training there, or in the Thai cave hoax. It was also the local military that was participating in a type of a drill.
Yeah.
But it is also a training so they can get the know-how for the next, I don't know, PSYOP, maybe. I'm not sure. It's just speculating.
I'm not sure either, and we'd love to know. We're never going to know, but it's fun to speculate, even if they are baby hoaxes or bigger hoaxes. This is what we talk about here. No one else will talk about this kind of stuff, and on a micro or macro level, that's why we have this website, and that's why I like talking about all these things, because as we discuss, we flush out, and we try and figure it out, reverse engineer, as it were. And it's kind of fun. And
yes,
as long as it's fun, we'll keep doing it. When it stops being fun, we'll just give up. But in the meantime, they keep supplying new ones, and we can only assume they improve listening to this radio show, listening to the faults we find. And it's interesting to see how difficult it is, more difficult anyway, as time goes by, in figuring out what's going on and how they pull it off. But they still have to use many tried and true methods. They're not going to just change it wholesale out of whole cloth, because they might not realize, they won't know if it works. So they're not. So they're going to use the same methods where they have the demonized Muslim and the funny pictures that you can't find anywhere, and then the stories, the narrative comes out, and how they release the narrative and how they do the victims. And it's almost, lately I noticed with victims, they just use relatives with completely different names to speak for the victims, which is kind of strange, unless relatives are raising other people's children. It's kind of strange that they would be the main spokespeople. But if they pick someone with a totally different name, it would be much harder to research any connection, of course. So it would be difficult. So I find
it's a good idea. I didn't think about that.
Well, the children have the different name from the spokesperson. Often they have a different name from the mother, and no one ever questions that. I think most children are named similarly to their parents.
It is difficult. In other cultures, it is not so usual, you know, that they have the system with the paternal surname is the family name, and the children have this surname. It is completely different in other cultures.
So, well, I don't know. I only know here how it works.
Yeah.
But anyhow, so that was the biggest thing that blew me away last Monday. I'm pretty sure it was a week ago that we call for a hoax and we get a hoax. That was just too amazing. That was just too amazing in my mind. Coincidence? Yes, I think so. But I noticed my fake tube link didn't show up for the buzz.
Do you believe in synchronicity or such?
I don't think I do, no.
You don't, you do?
No.
No, okay.
I don't. I think that might have been more of a coincidence, yeah.
It's a little bit an over-interpretation, I think, you know, because it depends on the personal involvement. If you wouldn't have the discussion with Xile, you wouldn't, let's say, interpret it like as something special. It would just be a hoax. Uh-huh. But because the other thing was also previously, you thought, wow, that's a coincidence.
I was just checking my website, and it seems to be hard to get on right now. I put this video on FakeTube that I don't know when it's from, this interview, but Russian Vids, who I do like, put this up with Buzz Aldrin, a small child asking him a question.
Why has nobody been to the moon in such a long time?
That's not an 8-year-old's question. That's my question. I want to know, but I think I know. Because we didn't go there, and that's the way it happened. And if it didn't happen, it's nice to know why it didn't happen. So in the future, if we want to keep doing something, we need to know why something stopped in the past that we wanted to keep it going. But I think I know.
Conspiracy theorists.
They've been crazy, but now they're right.
Yeah, that's kind of a funny one.
I didn't understand it, the girl. What did she say? You want to translate it for me?
She just wanted to know why we didn't go to the moon.
Ah,
or we haven't been back to the moon. Sorry, haven't been back to the moon. And I guess there's almost no other way to interpret that response by Buzz Aldrin, to be honest with you. When I first thought and saw it, I thought, oh, well, you could interpret it another way, but I'm not sure what I was thinking in that sense. I'm not sure.
He was saying that in order to continue something that we have stopped in the past, we have to understand why it stopped. So actually he's saying
we never went.
We didn't really go. Ah, yeah.
Yeah, that's what it means to me. So that's an interesting one. And I was only bringing that up because I looked on FakeTube and it didn't actually upload properly. So I have to upload it again. But that is on the YouTubes anyhow. So I'll just try and re-upload it to FakeTube and see if it works. But FakeTube is where I like to back up the videos in case they disappear from YouTube.
That's a very good move that you did, because it's much better without YouTube. On YouTube, really, there is nothing anymore.
No, I don't find much at all. And I haven't been looking because, like I said, I've been looking at some mainstream podcasts for the last month. Sometimes we get burned out listening to the same old stuff, and therefore I've been doing that. So I haven't been looking too hard at YouTube for media fakery stuff. And, of course, September Clues is quiet because their two main people are doing their Tycho's thing. So everything is pretty quiet.
Do you go to 153? I follow that through the Feedly. And they have some material about Greece, for example. I found there some videos.
I have been to 153, but not religiously.
Mm-hmm. Okay, maybe you should take it to your Feedly subscriptions.
Yeah, I'm not sure I can bring it into Feedly. I think you might just have to go right to the site, unless you've tried to bring it into Feedly.
I don't remember how I did it. I think I did it through Feedly. I searched through Feedly with the name 153 News, and then I got the RSS feed.
Why has nobody been to the moon in such a long time?
That's not an 8-year-old's question.
I think that's funny. You know, I don't know if he's telling the truth or not. He's definitely looking old in this video, and obviously he's in his 80s. And you got to wonder if they're going to leave him out there in the public much longer, or they don't care. I'm just wondering how NASA is going to play that.
Could it be that they're going to confess sometime soon?
Could it be that they are confessing all the time and no one is going to pay attention? Especially yeah. when it's funny old men doing the talking, and we could just blame it on dementia or Alzheimer's, and they might say things that maybe.
You know, maybe it is going to be together with the taking down of the Trump presidency and they blame it all on Trump or something. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know either. You could speculate till the cows come home, but
actually they are enhancing every level of these stories. You know, they find every day some new planets that are maybe inhabitable. They are planning the Mars missions. I don't know. It's really crazy stuff. I have no idea how they are going to get out of that loop.
Now, as we've said before, a lot of times this audio is just to highlight some of the posts on fakeologist.com, which, again, Marcus says are interesting and well done, and the audio is boring. But the audio is... Yes?
Yeah. You invited Marcus for today. Did he answer? Did he get your message?
I didn't. I guess I did mention it for today because this is my day when I talk. No, he didn't. I didn't get a response from him. So I just put that in the public sphere in case other people are reading it like they are. And then they can contact him if he talks to other people and let him know if he can't find it here. But that's fine. I also was going to talk to Frank today about salt, and I know he's listening. Hi, Frank. But I wasn't really in the mood to talk about the salt psyop too much.
Okay. He or you?
Well, I wasn't really in the mood. I think you guys talked about it. Where somebody talked
yes,
about
but
it.
But not in depth. I talked with him about it, but not so really. It was not satisfying for him, I guess, because I couldn't understand most of the particulars of that psyop. And it's quite interesting. I mean, it's an important question if we need less salt, as the industry tells us, or if we need actually more. So, yeah.
Yeah, it's very confusing. And
I need much salt. That's all I know. I eat extremely much salt.
Mm-hmm. Well, how's your blood pressure?
Great.
Well, the problem is there are so many, we're all so different. Our bodies are so complex. We all are exposed to different foods, different environment, different stress levels. I think there's just, it's just very difficult to relate anecdotal stories saying, oh, I eat lots of salt and I feel great. Well, we don't know the whole picture of you. We have no idea about 99% of what makes you physiologically well or not well. And just telling us you have an extra round of salt on your food is completely useless information in my mind. So it's not research. It's just anecdotes and they mean nothing. And that's why I don't listen too much.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think actually, and I told it Frank also, hi Frank, that the intuition that everyone has about what he needs to eat is the best actually advice that you can have for yourself. So if it gets out of control or confused, this intuition, it's a matter of time to
readjust. Well, I don't think someone
it.
Who's raised on, say, fast food their whole lives and doesn't even know where the vegetable and fruit section is of a store, I don't think he has any intuition. So I really don't know if that's reasonable to say, because a lot of people who grow up and are raised completely ignorant of so much important information. So I'm not sure intuition helps them at all. Their intuition might say, you know, eat the greasy food or eat the other bad food for them. They might not know there are healthy choices and research.
I've never met such a person. Do you know such people, or is it also a media myth?
No, come to North America. There's a different type of person walking around over here, from what I understand about people that go to Europe and see a whole different type of person in public. Okay. So I think it might be more something going on over here with the media and society in general.
Could be, yeah.
I did another post called 9/11 Puckman. And
yes.
That one got way more replies than I would have ever thought. Not my point to that story was just to point out that we're getting more falling buildings. We haven't had any real crashing planes lately, but we're getting a lot more stories about 9/11 because this is the lead-up, the six-week or so lead up to 9/11, which is of course why this blog exists. So these stories tend to escalate and crop up in the media. And this one was a good one because it's apparently a guy's DNA results are now in, and we now know from a bone fragment that this guy, we found this guy wherever it was they found him.
Yeah.
Now, it brings in one major belief, and that is DNA. To think you could get some kind of information, some genetic code, some blueprint out of a piece of bone, that defies any type of logic. But because we're dealing with another sense we can't sense, and that is the invisible, people will believe any stories, apparently, about invisible things. And DNA is invisible, and therefore they can weave a complete hoax story in and around what I think is a false false science, the double helix, the DNA. I think that's phony baloney. Totally.
I just wanted to ask you exactly that thing. You now mention the double helix. That is one picture that we have learned in school, that mm-hmm. that is a visualization of the human genetic code, let's say, or mm-hmm. whatever it is called, yes. I don't know. But there is another picture I have, maybe you don't, because maybe you didn't see such material. Mm-hmm. I saw it in a series or on television, which I watched only once for per accident, you know, as a visitor somewhere. And it was running on TV. It was one of these American serials, or how are they called? Mm-hmm. With, shows with criminalistic stories mm-hmm. and very scientific, you know, background, medical and criminalistic. And they were testing DNA. Mm-hmm. And I saw that they are presenting it as if there was a big surface of glass where they could show stripes of dark and light green. So there were stripes on a glass. And that was now a new picture that I got for DNA. And what does that mean? Actually, it means that you can represent in visual form this DNA stuff, this DNA theory, which doesn't which isn't convincing really, but you can represent it in several ways which are completely unrelated to the theory. Mm-hmm. So once it is a stripe with dark and green, dark and light green, or it is a double helix, which is even more abstract. What does it mean, a double helix? It's like snakes
It represents just form. The duality of humanity, just looking at the human body. We have two of everything. And I think that's where it really takes off from, this duality. I think that has a lot to do with the Twin Towers. There's so many binary systems, including apparently the star system in the Tycho's model. Just in real life, we have two of everything on our body. There's man and woman, that duality, that intertwining of life. And I think really it's just a manifestation, a representation of someone's imagination about how the body works.
About duality, yes. But yes. Duality is a concept that is actually new in the Western mm-hmm. tradition of thinking, and it is created in the 15th century. Michel Foucault is referencing it. It's a French philosopher who is researched the tradition of these dual and triadic systems. And prior to that dual system, we had the triad, the triadic system. So it is just a form to simplify several patterns that you can observe, and
Well, I think it's phony baloney, and therefore I don't think
I
that anyone
you.
Could take a bone and say, oh, that's the guy that died 17 years ago. I just don't think it's possible. It's just nonsense. But they're just weaving two false narratives. SMJ did lots of work on Watson and Crick, who apparently found out about or discovered this false science, and they have very shaky backgrounds as well. And if you deconstruct their narrative, then you'll see the gag. Really, it is just a joke. But it doesn't matter, because it's something that's like all propaganda, repeated over and over again, it becomes true in people's minds.
Just an idea that I had right now. Maybe the old invention of this DNA stuff is in order to lend even more credibility to hoaxes that have been deconstructed already by the societies. Because how will you be able to keep up such big lies, for example, about what happened on 9/11 or whatever. So you need even more scientific evidence, and Maybe it's such a creation. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's a lie supporting a lie, as far as I can see.
Yeah. But in this topic, or in this post, there was an interesting, or still is running, an interesting discussion about the 9/11 victims generally.
Yes, and that's what Zalfal X was bringing up. I'm not, well, after, he's elaborated a bit on it. I haven't read it too closely. Do you want to speak about it?
I would like to, but actually I'm not sure if I understand the whole depth of these questions that Xylophilex and Antipodean are raising. As far as I understand it, they are speculating that there are not only victims on 9/11, but also previously real persons that disappeared after, or that changed their identity. So they are not saying there are people that died, that's clear. There are no victims on 9/11. But about the method of creating the alleged victims, they believe, or at least I understand that Xylophilex believes, and he has written extensively about the British alleged victims of 9/11, and he, for himself, is absolutely sure that these British alleged victims were previously real people. They have a real biography, they have real birth certificates, etc. Mm-hmm. Now, you're searching for the next clip?
Well, no, this is a really good clip. I have a. I'm putting this on. I'm going to put this on. I don't know if anyone's brought up this point in the thread, and this was on 9/11 Puckman's comment thread. Am I right?
9/11
Puckman. Well, I'm going to post a link from fakeologist.com way back from 2016. This blog has gone on a long time. Mm-hmm. January 6, 2016. I did a post called The 11 Types of 9/11 Victims. Yes, I chose 11. Actually, I don't know if I chose that. Someone
what
else
is
chose
the
it.
History of that list app? Because I want to have the history for the Wikipedia also. Is it a creation of a discussion, out of a discussion, or is it your own?
No, I don't have any original research. I just collate and comment on it, but this came from the Let's Roll forums.
Okay.
And two guys on the show came on to talk about it on the John Friend show. Okay. John Friend is the one who is just rabidly anti-Jew in his format.
Another one.
Yeah, he was a young guy. He's been on a long time. He's actually a friendly enough person to talk to, but he's just, I think, derailed in that way. Anyway, he did an interview with the guys that created the post on Let's Roll forums. I put the link to this, by the way, in the show notes. And he did a show with the two authors, and it's actually a very good show. It's one of my favorite types of shows, and I'll play a bit, and I'm going to put this on FakeTube as well. It's still on YouTube. John Friend's YouTube channel is still online.
You're telling me they were prepping and putting together these obits and all this long in advance of 9/11. Long in advance.
Okay, it wasn't on John Friend's show. It was on Fetzer's show on August 9th, 2010. But John Friend did the video.
No problem, yeah.
Absolutely. And all the friends of the network, you know, that, you know, were going to be willing players.
That's Phil Jahan, by the way.
Ah, that's Phil Jahan. Never heard him.
No, he doesn't do much audio, if any.
There's, you know, people needing new identities for whatever reason, you know, could get aboard. And apparently, I mean, you know, look at Sonia Morales-Poulopoulos. She had Kerry and Clinton show up at her funeral. I mean, it's not hard to figure out where, you know, they got her from. People ask about the victims. They ask about the passengers. What about the passengers? This answers the question. They were friends of the network. You know, some of them were real, some of them were fictions. Some of them were facial morphs. Some of them were people that were already dead. Some people were people that were probably dying and going to die soon, but they could go out in the ball of glory and have all sorts of neat things written about them in a newspaper.
That's Jim Fetzer breathing, by the way.
Yeah, Mark Bingham, this...
Now, of course, this is... You're suggesting similar things were done at the Twin Towers that were done here with the airline passengers aboard, for example, here in Flight 93.
Yeah, John did a good video. He put a lot of screenshots, moving screenshots, including September Clues. John was a friend of, or a fan of September Clues as well. This you know, I really like these audio. There's some really good audios with Jim Fetzer. As much as he is a deceiver promoting the mini nukes and the suitcase nukes, he had a lot of guests that did tell him what I think is the truth. But the way Fetzer just sort of takes it and says that's very interesting and then goes ahead and steamrolls his opinions over top. But he did entertain a lot of guests that I've never heard anywhere else that were probably telling the truth. And that's the goal of disinformation. Yeah. You really just confuse the hell out of people. You present a whole smorgasbord of stuff.
I have to confess something. It is that publicly I do not state everything that I hear or read because I have to explain that. I listened a lot to Jim Fetzer, especially the period that where he was working with Kevin Barrett on this Friday false flag stuff. And it is mostly that these personalities in the conspiracy realm, they bring information. Most of that information is, of course, misdirecting. But in order to misdirect, they have to place also valuable information out there.
Yes.
So you have to, you cannot go anywhere else to get the information, and I think for that reason, yeah, but it's hard to differentiate, of course, when you're a beginner, as I am. But going back to the list,
people don't put in the time like you do. You're a very dedicated researcher. They don't put in the time, and they're going to just pass over the good stuff because they won't even know what's good and what's bad. So that's what we try and do here on a weekly basis for 6 years. Not most people's interest, but it's just something we do because we re-examine the master templates like 9/11 because they help so much with whatever tomorrow morning is going to bring in whatever city. So it really helps us.
Well, I think, you know, this discussion about the alleged victims of 9/11, I think it is important because there is now the term vixen, which is very helpful on the one side, but it is also very confusing because it doesn't really differentiate between when you say vixen, is it that there was nothing, it's just the name, or was there a person, you know, or is it half a creation, half not? It is not clear, and I think it would be also helpful to maybe to find out if some of these alleged victims existed previously. There is also the question about the method. How do they create these fake identities? And Psyopticon had good ideas about it, I saw, in that research.
Yeah. Oh, did he? Well, this show that I'm playing here, I'm playing it on FakeTube, but I just put it on FakeTube. It's only got 2,300 views from 2011 in 8 years, 7 years, which is probably a fake number, but just listen a little more.
Well, absolutely. Last week we spoke about David Rice. David H. Rice, somebody that was on the 104th Tower, he supposedly worked for Stanler O'Neill and Company. And the exit date on David H. Rice's picture, you know, complete with the obituary, is 9/11/01. They wouldn't know who died on the towers on 9/11/01.
Yes, of course. too soon.
But to go through proper notification of family and go through all of the procedures which would have been followed had it been a real disaster killing all these people, there's no conceivable way they could have contacted the family and received, first of all, ascertained that he was dead, contacted the family, received a family photo, and had all of this together on the day of 9/11.
Oh, I agree completely.
Now, we were going to have a little bit of fun with you tonight. And the radio listeners, for the next person that we were going to unveil. Her name is Barbara Restigoy, and we were going to be making a phone call. You know, we tracked down her old numbers, Jim.
Yeah.
Barbara Restigoy was a flight attendant, allegedly on Flight 11, and she wasn't supposed to fly that day, but she was called in. She's one of those. There was about 50% of all the flight attendants that have that same story. They weren't scheduled, but they flew. And
oh, that's so many
that's
people weren't supposed to be there. Well, that is so many people had that story. He's right. They weren't supposed to be in the towers that day, and they all had a story like that. I don't know why they do that. I suppose it really hits people, makes people think that things can be so random in the world that you could be next, because unless you reschedule or change your...
It is a dramatization of...
Yeah.
It is an excess in that whole narrative. And the exception is part, of course, of the controlled opposition story that there were people in the towers, but... What I find very impressing of all these stories, and I've experienced it myself, is that even though you can have done the decision to know there were no people in the towers, nowhere in near all these buildings were any people on that day, you still fall into that controlled opposition narrative, which say, but there is this exception, and what happened with the other person, and was Barbara Olsen real, or was she not? So the trap is very, very magnetic somehow.
Well, here's a video, actually, that speaks to that.
So the Pentagon, as he's allowed to get tonight, recording under the very difficult circumstances, Cynthia McFadden is on the west side of New York City in what... we keep describing as the trauma center where triage was originally meant to occur. Do you have any further sense or any closer sense of the magnitude of this in terms of human loss?
Well, Peter, what I can tell you is this. We have talked to sources who have been inside the triage center all day and asked them why the volume of extreme trauma, why the number of people just hasn't been seen. You can see this parade of ambulances, I think, behind me here. We've been seeing ambulances come through all day and rescue vehicles, all of them, for the most part, empty, with the exception of some rescue workers and some other rescuers at the scene. But by and large, they have been walking in. Into this center, not the kind of severe trauma. When I just asked why they weren't here, someone simply said, Cynthia, it's because the victims are dead.
Cynthia McFadden. I said a short while ago that we'd only actually publicly identified one person, one individual who died today, and that was the wife of the Solicitor General of the United States, Barbara Olsen. I got her first name right. Barbara Olsen. Who was on the aircraft that attacked the Pentagon and was able to communicate with her husband, to whom we obviously extend our deepest, just everybody who knows him must be.
Yeah, that's Peter Jennings, a Canadian who definitely was instrumental in selling the 9/11 hoax. And there you go. That's them speaking again. Yeah, the trauma centers are empty. The triage is... It's empty.
But while we were listening...
They all died.
Everyone
just vaporized. They're all dead. Forget the hospital. You don't need the hospital.
They're not only dead. They're
dead
vanished.
And gone. They're vaporized.
They vaporized.
And that fed into the narrative that they used a magical weapon that... turned everyone into magic dust and blew them away.
Do you know this story? There is a guy in Holland who has written his doctor thesis about how they controlled laser weapons out of building whatever seven to destroy the towers. No, what I wanted to say really is, while we were listening, I was thinking there is a good reason why some of the victims of 9/11, the alleged, should have to have a real bio, even if it is a fake bio of a double, let's say, identity. It is because it has to be somehow verified by third people unknowingly, not integrated in the narrative, you know. Something like that. Maybe it's not really true, but...
Well, the bottom line is there's more, there's at least 11 ways to fake a victim. They're not all created, I suppose, is what Zylphilex is saying, out of whole cloth. They're not all just just made up people. They're not all just pictures plucked off worldwide photo albums.
Well, Xile does not say that.
No? Okay.
Xile says that the British, the alleged British victims were real people that were, let's say, contracted in one or the other way to disappear after 9/11, to start a new life.
Oh, okay.
The new lifers.
Is that just the British ones?
These are the ones that he has researched. I don't know about the others.
Well, there, I don't think there were more than maybe 50 British ones. Is that possible?
I don't remember the number. It's something about 50, 60, something like that. Yeah. That class. There are 11 ways to fake victims, and
that was the Let's Roll Forums research. That's what they said.
Okay,
that was their conclusion, and I think it's pretty close. But I really liked a lot of these shows that Fetzer did, and I am grateful for many of the ones that I picked and enjoyed.
And Barbara Restigoy, we tracked down her phone number through a pay search, and, you know, where you pay $1.99, and you know, you get the number. And we know that it was her number because her birthday was right next to the number.
Okay.
You know, to verify it. So, you know, we were curious. There was two numbers. They both were the same number, but, you know, with different area codes. One was 508, one was 703. And so we called the number, and the number was 703-428-0902. In case anybody wants to write this down, 703-428-0902. We gave her a call, and what we got on the other line was, Air Force 8, how may I help you?
Air Force 8?
Yeah, and you know, I'm like, excuse me, are you at 2500 Van Dorn? Because that's what her address was. And he says, no, we're at the Pentagon. And I says, okay, you know, I have the wrong number. So, you know, we hung up, and, you know, I told a couple of people about that and you know, shared the number. And a few people called and, you know, got the same response. And we called the number today before the show because we were going to do this live on the air and give them a call. You know, this is Barbara Restigoy's number. You call her old number, and it goes back to the Pentagon, Air Force Aid. So,
well, you can listen to that later. I reposted that on fakeologist.com, and it'll be in the show notes. And you can, I'm going to put the
trauma
link.
Victims never appear at triage area. Yeah, I saw it just now.
Yeah, I'm going to post a link to the 9/11. The 11 types of victims there as well.
Yeah, that would be great. You can use it also for the Fakeopedia.
I'm going to put that there. But, yeah, I always like, you know, I always find these shows are more interesting when we talk about 9/11, and I'm glad you've got a big interest in talking about it, because it seems sometimes the Fakeologist site goes in a million different directions away from... Really, the core, you really have to know this 9/11 hoax inside and out, and all. It's still the biggest of our time,
and it's still not solved everything. I think, as for my understanding, you know.
Well, officially it's not solved. They have one guy still, 17 years later, maybe at Guantanamo Bay, the big hairy guy, the Muslim hairy guy. I can't remember his name. Zakawi? I don't even remember anymore. Nobody remembers. That's the whole point. Everyone thinks it's solved. We got the one guy that did it. I mean, come on. There's no way one or two guys could have planned this, even if it was a real enemy. It'd take an army to plan this thing. Come on. You think one guy in a cave did all this? It's just
you know, it has also positive aspects up. It keeps the mind in a state of interest, you know, and of searching and of questioning. And that's really something good, I think. For example, a question that bothers me a lot is how exactly did they demolish the buildings? Did they, for example, take out the inner structure, or maybe with cranes or cranes? Or maybe,
or how much inner structure was there to begin with?
How much, exactly, how much inner structure was left? Such things bother me, and I would like really
well,
to
Well, I like the idea that they spent 8 years after the 93 bombing of the parking lot. I think they could have easily spent 8 years taking the inside apart. And there's no way you'd know. One truck at a time out the loading dock at night or even in the day. You wouldn't have any idea what's happening. They could call it renovation. And, of course, all renovation, you have to take out whatever you're fixing and then bring the new stuff in. They could have just taken everything out over 8 years. Think of that. If they had, say, 25 trucks a day taking stuff out for 8 years, they would have had that thing as an empty shell by 9/11. And it would have definitely been much easier to demolish if they take everything out. Then that explains no debris.
Exactly, and or less degree than
than expected.
Than expected. But one other funny imagination that I have sometimes is that if there is a building in my surrounding, in a big city like Manhattan, let's say in Athens in the center, and it is 110 stories high, and I go there every day and I pass by every day, and suddenly it is not 110 stories but only 50 stories, how do I mention or how do I realize this difference? I do not.
Yeah, well, I don't think so they took half of it down the day before. I think it was
the day before, the years before. They could have taken from inside.
Oh, you mean to start picking off the top? No, I don't think so. I think that controlled demolition brought it down, but I think they had so much time to wire the place up. And I haven't posted anything from, what's it called, the Loiseau Group, which is the owner of Controlled Demolition, which...
Ah, yes, I've seen some of your videos.
I haven't seen it lately because I haven't been getting any notification. Loiseau Group, CDI.
CDI, exactly.
Controlled Demolition, The Art of Demolition.
Yeah.
Are they still posting? Let's see here. Oh, yeah, they are. You know, good old YouTube. They stopped notifying me.
So I went once to their website after watching one of your videos of them, and they had an article about 9/11 where they stated exactly the official story, that we as expert can tell you that it was not controlled demolition on 9/11.
Oh, where's that? Oh, I like to see
on
that.
On their website. On
you got to post that. That's terrific.
It's some time ago that I followed that. I can search again, and I will find it, I think. It's just a...
Oh, I see. They blew up that one. Have they done anything recently? Let's see. They blew up... they blew up something this summer, June 24th. Twin Towers, 2 9-story buildings in Kansas City, Missouri. Okay. They blew up the Ramada Inn. It happened so fast. Now, that's only 9 stories, but it just literally collapses in its own footprint into a big pile of dust. There's the dust cloud. It lasts about 30 seconds. I mean, it's so good.
You know something, Ab?
Yeah.
First of August is here the national festival, Switzerland. And it sounds exactly like that.
Yeah. Twin Towers. And there's the rubble pile.
That's apropos Twin Towers. I went once on Google and gave in Twin Towers, and I was surprised to see that Twin Towers is anything else today other than the Twin Towers that were in Manhattan. They have been built around the world, several hundreds of Twin Towers in China.
Oh, there's Twin Towers everywhere. They build condos here in twins. They're always twins. They're not always equal twins. One might be a little shorter than the other, but so many. There are more identical twin towers here in Toronto, and we mainly build condos here. There's been a few office towers, but I don't go downtown anymore, so I don't really even know what's going on down there. But yeah, there are a lot of twins, more twins than you can imagine.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't think there's anything other than it's just more economical to put two up because it's pretty much the same building and I just
stability
don't
maybe
no, they're not connected.
Each other.
Well, no, they're not connected in any way. Sometimes they're joined by a common area where they have the big lobbies or
maybe they are metaphysically connected.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Okay.
Alrighty. Well, I am getting a little tired now, and it's super late where you are. And we had...
Do you have a Monday tomorrow?
I have Monday. Monday always comes around. And we still have a nice heat wave going up. Well, it's a little cold today, but didn't make it to the beach today before it got cold. We had a nice thunderstorm and whatnot, but I understand it's hot where you are.
Yes, we had 28 today again. Last week we had 33 degrees.
33?
Yeah, full 33.
Do you have humidity?
Oh, yes, all the time, because sometimes it rains and then it's full of humidity, let's say. It's like monsoon a little bit.
Yeah.
In Switzerland, it has a little bit changed over the years.
Well, you haven't been there for the history of Switzerland, but
no.
Since you've been there, it's changed, and our weather's different every year. Last year, we didn't have a summer. We had 2 days over 30.
2 days only?
Only 2 days. Wow. Now, this year, we've had probably about, I'm going to say, 30 days about 30. So that's just two summers in a row. We got cold last year, and this year, pretty good.
Yeah.
You know, so I'll never buy into the hoax, the climate change hoax. It's not really a hoax in the sense the climate's always changing. Up, down, left, right. There's no trend. We're not getting warmer. If anything, things are getting cleaner. Pollution is less because we don't just dump our toxic stew into the ground anymore.
Yeah.
And
I don't know. I cannot verify such things, you know. I just say that... we get also used. Humans get used to what surrounds them, and I'm not really sure if it has become hotter in Switzerland. But for me, it's more easy to live here than it was in the first 10 years.
Well, I don't want to get too involved in the global warming hoax, but in Canada, where it's cold most of the year, I don't see a problem making it warmer. I don't see how could that be bad. How could it be bad where there are more months to live warmer? There's nothing you can say. Polar bears, ice caps, icebergs. There's nothing you can say to tell me that that's a bad thing. If it was true, which I doubt it is.
Yeah.
Really?
Yes, I think it's a little bit arrogant if science wants to define or determinate, or how is the word, that the climate or the whatever, yeah, the climate is changing. Well, science exists only 100 years in that manner.
Well, you can say it's changing, but changing is just, changing doesn't say anything other than you're trying to explain a trend that first you said it was cold, then you said it was a warming trend. The trend is whatever you want it to be or whatever people believe in. So let's talk heat in the summer and cold in the winter, and people are going to buy it. They're going to buy into it. So I just don't like it. Takes up too much of the narrative, and there are more important things to talk about, like pollution. Pollution is a real thing, and when you burn smoke and blow it in people's lungs, I agree, we can see it, we can taste it, we can smell it. It can't be good. Real pollution right in your face.
Too much cars up. Too much automobiles.
Well, and they're changing too anyway. They're being forced to switch to electric. That, to me, that's a good thing. I'm for that. There's no...
They just don't go very far, the electric.
Well, the hybrids, that's why you get a hybrid. But it doesn't matter what the truth is on that. I've often said that the VW diesel scandal was a hoax. There is no way that you can... The story they give us, if you actually listen to the official story, which almost no one will have done, to how and what VW is doing to fake the tests, it doesn't make any sense. There's no way the computer program would have been designed that way. It's just ridiculous.
I think that was a hoax.
Yes,
scandal.
It was a hoax because diesels are the most efficient, and they are now clean just in time. They just finally figured out how to keep the exhaust clean.
But they have to pay so much money for reparations, or how is it called?
Yeah, well, whether that money ever gets paid, I don't know. They're the biggest automobile manufacturer in the world. But, you know, you're not just trying to convince the public. You have to change a corporation and a corporate direction, you have to create a huge reason to retool the whole company. And if you're switching from diesel to electric, you know, the shareholders, the big investors, the unions, they're not going to just say, okay, let's drop everything and switch from diesel to electric.
So you're saying that some hoaxes are not meant for us, for the normal working people, let's say, but they are meant for the big bosses that cannot be convinced by rational thinking, but they have to be convinced.
You can't convince a whole company to change. The big bosses have to be in on it, but the whole company, the corporate structure, to say, listen, we're going to shut the diesel factory down that's making us all kinds of money. It's a super efficient and clean car, and we're going to switch to this hybrid or electric model that there's no infrastructure for. We're going to bet the whole company on. If it doesn't go through, the whole place will go under because you need a huge amount of cooperation. So you get the government behind it and you create a psyop to convince the unions, the investors. You have to get everyone on board. And
the unions, that is very important, I think. The unions,
the German unions are very powerful. They do have a say in the way things operate, I believe, as opposed to maybe their American counterparts, which aren't as powerful. And to turn a huge corporation like VW is like turning around the biggest ship in the world. You just cannot change course quickly or overnight unless you create this phony baloney story, which is going to cost them billions of dollars just in lost sales alone. They took all the VWs off the road in America and they're parked somewhere right now and they can't sell them unless they recondition them. And I don't know if they're going to even do that. Their real money was passed out. I know people that got a check from VW to park their cars and go buy another one. And so I'm positive that the story was phony.
Okay. And the Tesla stories, they were also phony. That was sabotage, let's say.
Yeah, Tesla's a strange one. I don't know exactly what's going on with Tesla. That's a strange.
They're not really hybrids. They're electric.
No, they're pure electric. Yeah, they're pure electric. They're on the road. And I have an interest in all this because I just recently bought a hybrid car.
Yeah.
And I think it is the future. And I'm a big transportation person, so I'm very interested in.
I don't know about big, but I know.
No, I'm just big in terms of my interest and my whole career. I've been in transportation, but I understand. You're funny, but the hybrid is here to stay. It's a smart. I don't know if there's an economic case for it yet. There is an environmental case for it, in that, of course, if you can. Even if a battery is a polluting device to create and dismantle, which I don't think it is, but say it was, well, you're taking the pollution out of your direct face, i.e. Yeah. your lungs and the highways and byways that you travel, and you're transferring it somewhere else, maybe in a more controlled situation, and I'm talking about the manufacturer of the batteries and the components. And if you really are driving a vehicle that is not emitting anything because it's just running off electric, then that is, on a local level, a much more intelligent thing to have around. And it makes more sense.
I think actually, I don't understand much about cars because I don't like them, to be honest. I like to drive from time to time.
Yeah.
It's really a funny experience, and it's likable. You know, the villages that or the landscapes that you can view from different perspectives. Yeah,
I've driven millions.
It's a cool experience, and motorcycles also, etc. But I don't like the amount of cars that are underway. You know, it's too much. Everything has become streets, asphalt. And cars. It's too much for my taste, you know. I think it would be great, for example, if there would be a limit of kilometers that the cars themselves allow with their infrastructure.
Yeah.
So that it is limited, for example, to 1,000 kilometers per month or something.
Well, if you come to North America, you will see that this place is vast. You live in a very concentrated area called Europe, Western Europe. You come over here, you get outside of any city, even in the United States, especially in the West, you will go through endless miles of nothing. And there's no way you're going to limit people's mobility by capping their mileage, because no one will get anywhere. It's just, the place is vast. Come to Canada and drive across it and tell me if you think there's a population problem. Because you'll see this country is empty, completely empty. There's nobody here outside the major cities. No, and even our major cities aren't that big. We have a couple.
Yeah.
And even in North America.
I don't believe actually there is a population problem. I just, today, because of some article on the Wikipedia, I was researching about Nigeria or Nigeria,
how
you said in English. And the population of the 10 biggest cities were, I don't remember now the names of them, 8 million was the biggest.
Mm-hmm.
8 million is the population of Switzerland, you know.
Yeah.
It was one city there, and the other nine were also 5, 6, 7 million. So I thought, wow, we never had a population problem. That's only, a handful of people, and everything is empty.
Well, it is here. So getting back to cars, I think that the electric hybrid is the way to go. VW and most of the big automakers in Europe especially have already bet the whole thing on that. So, and the only way they can do that is they need the cooperation of the government. The governments are going to have to, and I think will ban diesel cars, especially in major metropolitan areas of Europe. And that will definitely kick the whole electric hybrid market into high gear, at least over there. Over here,
what does that mean for the oil producing countries and the oil producing bosses?
It just means they'll have to reduce the alleged supply of oil. They'll just have to artificially prop up the price of oil and keep it high enough so they can still make money. There's still lots of things that use oil. But, yeah, I think the solar electric revolution will definitely change things in the next 50 years.
Yeah, they really will. That's why they are sabotaging it all the time.
It's a business. They hedge everything. So, okay, if oil profits are going down, they're already on the other side to catch the whatever's going up. There's no net loss to the elite. They're not stupid. They're not going to just disappear because one commodity went down. Something is going up on the other side of it. So they're hedged totally. So it's nothing to worry about for them.
Yeah.
But it will be a revolution to many places in the world, I think. Anyone that has a view of the sun, especially on the equator, they're going to have an energy revolution. It's happening now already.
Good news.
Yeah. Hey, it's
very
everything
good
is
news.
There's good news everywhere. Everywhere it's good news. If you look around.
Maybe you should put that into your show, you know, as a standard part. 5 minutes good news.
Yeah.
I think that would be a good idea.
Well, I think that just this audio.
Really interesting, as we started investigating Barbara a little bit more, we discovered the addresses that were given in her profiles. Her and her boyfriend, was it her boyfriend? Fiance. Both addresses is nothing but an empty lot of woods.
That's good news. People aren't dying. We speak good news every day. This is the good news show.
Good news,
it is good news.
Yeah.
But anyway, we talked about a lot of great things today. 9/11 was a good topic to be on, and we'll keep talking about it. And as you dig up some of the old research and remind me of it, I'll certainly be happy to talk about it. And you just help me dig up a whole bunch of old videos, which are very important. And I've just posted them as well as we've been talking. So, again, this was a good chat. It's too bad nobody called in. 518-639-6233. Don't be shy. We're going to try and show up every week for an hour or two and get people with telephones to call in. Of course, today
is... Call in next Sunday.
And I'm going to probably try and work in the next couple of weeks to get Discord and Skype working together.
Okay.
So we can have... more possibilities. There's lots of people right now on the Fakeologist Discord channel with green lights, which means they're online. And the site is active. It's interesting. And remember, I don't know if you're listening unless you send me an email or send me a PayPal, only $1.19 a month, to say that you like this kind of discussion, you like this conversation. Just let me know.
Cool.
So thank you for joining me, Kay, and have yourself.
Thank you, Up.
And we'll try and see you next week.
Yes. Have a good week. Bye-bye, Up.
All right. Take care. Another time.